Esme stared at the same page she'd read many times before. She had nothing to do. With the ship overcrewed, no one needed her help. Hours and days ran together. She tried not to think about how long it was taking to get anywhere, how much time passed in which anything might be happening. The Fortune's last data feed, before going into jump, had included nothing substantive about the mutiny, only speculation as to its effect on prices. Baron was out there somewhere. He might be in combat. And here she was, stuck on a ship that might just as well have Target blaring from its beacon. She held a mental argument with his grandmother, in which, since she had both sides, she could win. In real life, admirals had the power. In the middle of her sleep shift, Esme rolled over, tangling her legs in the sheet yet again.
Damn it!
She closed her eyes firmly, until speckles and smears of light rolled across the darkness, and she could feel Baron's touch on her face, her neck, her body. She could smell him, taste him. He was calling her, longing and fear both in his voice. And then, in a great flash of light, he was gone.
Ow! Damn it!
Esme sat up abruptly and banged her head smartly on the cabinet overhead.
Will I ever see him again? Is he even alive?
She snapped on the light, blinked back hot tears, set her jaw, and grabbed a robe. She could go shower. Esme opened the door to find Betharnia standing just outside.
I heard a thud. I wondered if you were all right.
I'm fine. I'm going for a shower.
No one hit you?
No.
You have a lump on your head at the hairline.
No one hit me. You can look if you want to.
Esme flung the door aside, but Betharnia caught it in mid-swing and took a very thorough look inside.
Ah.
Satisfied that I'm not hiding a lover?
Yes. And that you are miserable.
Betharnia closed the compartment door quietly.
It's none of your business.
Esme headed for the showers, but the woman kept stride with her.
It may be my business if you endanger us. You were having nightmares?
You were just standing around outside my compartment spying on me?
No, I was not. I was walking past. I heard mutterings and then a loud noise like someone being hit, then a curse, then the click of a light switch, then the rustle of clothing, then you came out and—
You couldn't hear all that.
I have very good hearing. It is a curse.
It is a fake.
You're not so polite as you are at meals, Sarah.
It is the middle of my sleep shift. I've had no sleep. I had a bad dream. I whacked my head on the cabinet. And yes, you're right. I'm upset and miserable.
A shower is a very good idea, then.
They had come to the door of the shower area. Betharnia turned away.
Don't make it too hot.
You just going to walk off?
The woman waved a hand in a gesture that could have meant any of several things and kept walking. Esme walked into the shower room and saw herself in the mirrors above the sinks. The rapidly purpling lump was all too obvious.
Baron! 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 Baron!
And entirely too much. She beat her fists on the smooth, cold edge of one of the sinks. No one came in. As far as she knew, no one heard. Then she went into a shower cubicle and washed off the sweat and tears of her misery. Back in her compartment, she went to sleep and slept until the alarm rang. At breakfast, Basil stared at her forehead. She already knew what she looked like. She had seen it while getting dressed.
Who slugged you?
Nobody. I woke up too fast in the middle of the night and whacked myself on the cabinet.
Did you put ice on it?
No, I didn't even think of that.
That you should always put ice on it. When my daughter falls down and gets a bump, my wife puts ice on it.
Betharnia strolled in.
Ah, you have a wife?
You know I do.
But the back of his neck slowly turned a rich crimson. Esme watched, fascinated.
And you, Sira, your head is better?
Much better. If anyone needs any help, I'm quite able to stand a watch today.
She offered every day. Gunnar came in with a plateful of something that smelled delicious.
No, you're not standing any watches. You're our guest.
Well, I should make myself useful.
What you would be most useful for is probably not something you want to do. We could use some information on this mutiny business, for instance.
A chill ran down Esme's back.
I don't have any.
Ah, well, I didn't expect you would, or that you'd tell us if you did. Loyalty's a good thing to have, even to something you're estranged from. Families change their minds.
I don't think Fleet will.
You never know. And your sort of talent isn't limited to combat operations anyway. Tactical sense is useful in many places.
But I loved it was the wrong thing to say, Esme knew.
However, if there are unclassified things you could tell us, what we might expect as traitors from Fleet in this mutiny situation, or what the mutineers might do...
I haven't been briefed. I was on my way to a new duty station. I know what's on the news, that's about all. But if I had to guess, I'd say this is a serious attempt to seize power, a military coup. There are people in Fleet who think the civilian government is weak and doesn't support the military enough.
Basil leaned forward and gave her a look clearly meant to convey unusual trust.
You know, that sounds like our cousin Kaim. Kaim's in Fleet himself, a senior NCO, but he's always been a bit odd, and on his last visit home, he was extremely odd. We don't know if he's finally lost it. His father did. Or what to think.
Do you think he's part of the mutiny?
I don't know. I hope not.
He's always going on about plots and things. Mostly we don't pay attention to him. Not that we see him that often, unless we can see how it affects trade. Last time he was talking about rejuvenation problems and how he thought Fleet was using NCOs as lab animals, he said. That's why they shut down inquiry into the rejuve failures.
Everybody's had some bad drug batches come out of the Patchcock plants, and from what I heard, it was Hobart Constantine who shut off research on it.
It occurred to Esme then that if the mutiny had anything to do with rejuvenation, that probably meant it wasn't supported by the Consulines.
Ah, that makes sense. This whole rejuvenation thing, it's going to make trouble one way or another. Take me. The way our company's set up, the old yield place to the young as the young mature. What's to happen if the old don't, if they stay young? It wouldn't matter if it were only a few rich people, but... what if my uncle and father were still ship captains? Where would I be?
I don't know.
But do you think the mutineers will attack civilian ships, traders, other civilian targets?
They might. To put pressure on the government, they'd have to either defeat the loyal military or show that it can't protect you, or both. I'm afraid you can expect trouble, and soon.
Gunnar shook his head.
I should tell you, Sarah, that we're carrying a fugitive to Castle Rock. A priest from the Benignity.
A priest?
Yes. He says they think he's a heretic with some kind of secret. Fleet knows about him. They'll take charge of him at Castle Rock.
What would Fleet want with a priest?
I don't know. I just want him off our hands.
Gunnar glanced at the chronometer.
I'd better be off.